This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
You might think humans would learn from disasters like this. Apparently not yet. Australia suffered a terrible drought for years, ending farming in parts of the country. The Black Saturday bushfires of 2009 killed 173 people. They were horrific. Then torrential rains flooded out coastal cities and towns. No matter, mate. Australia is steaming full ahead to expand their coal exports into a world climate-wrecking status equal to Canada's infamous tar sands. Here is what you haven't heard. Between Canada's tar sands and Australia's massive coal exports, we make two of the nicest climate wreckers around. Both countries are ramping up dirty carbon production to feed their economies. Let's tune in to what is happening down under with Georgina Woods, Senior Climate and Energy Campaigner for Greenpeace Australia Pacific. Georgina, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Well, before we talk about the huge expansion, how big are Australia's coal exports now?
It fluctuates year to year, but at current levels, Australia is exporting around 300 million tonnes per annum of coal. Some of that is coking coal for making steel, and some of it's thermal coal for electricity.
And where does that put you in the ranking of world coal exporters?
Our total coal exports are the biggest export volume in the world. We are second to Indonesia in the thermal coal ranks, but we're certainly right up there and have a big influence on the Asian coal market.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Who is buying Australian coal?
Well, traditionally it's been predominantly Japan and South Korea and Taiwan that buy coal from Australia. Japan's a big coal burner and doesn't have coal of its own, so it's been a big customer country of Australia's for many years. More and more in recent years and in the future, we're going to be selling a lot of the coal that we mine to China and India, who are both expanding their coal-fired generation capacity at the moment.
Well, let's talk about the 9 mega coal mines now being proposed in Australia. Please, Georgina, take as long as you want to tell us about those.
Well, the report that Greenpeace Australia Pacific released recently focused in on one region where coal mining is expanding. It's important to understand that the Galilee Basin, which is the region we were talking about in our report, isn't the only place where coal exports are expanding in Australia. There are dozens of new coal mines proposed in various parts of the states of New South Wales and Queensland. But the Galilee Basin is special because it's a region entirely new to coal mining. It's a long way from the coast, and the coal mines that are being proposed for that region are exceptionally large. So currently, the largest coal mine in Australia produces around 30 million tonnes of coal every year. And two of the mines currently proposed for the Galilee Basin will produce 60 million tonnes of coal every year. So it is going to be coal mining on a scale that is unprecedented in Australia. At the moment, there are 9 coal mines proposed for that region that have production capacity defined. And so we know that the intentions of the coal industry to pull around 330 million tonnes of coal from that region every year at full production.
That is amazing. So where do the Aboriginal people of Australia stand on this massive expansion of coal mining?
Well, there are different communities of Aboriginal people around the country with different languages and different, you know, organisations. In Queensland, there is native title law that requires Aboriginal people to negotiate, to provide agreement to enterprises like this. One of the coal mines in the Galilee Basin, the company has already negotiated agreements with Aboriginal communities for that mine, but the others are going to need to do that. And it's possible that there will be cultural heritage impacts of these coal mines and of the rail lines that will go to the coast because they are so large. And it's an area that's been, until now, given over to grazing cattle, which isn't a high disturbance occupation.
Okay. Well, I'd like to switch over a little bit to the role of the media in Australia about this. Could you tell the world about Australia's sweetheart, Gina Rinehart?
Yes. Gina Rinehart is the chairman of a company called Hancock Prospecting. And she comes from a mining family in Western Australia. Her father was an iron prospector, and her company has a great interest in iron mining, which is really big in Western Australia. Her company basically developed several of the projects in the Galilee Basin, two of the mines and one of the coal ports that's being proposed to export this coal, and then sold a large chunk of the ownership of those projects to an Indian company called GVK. So Reinhardt's company still does own an interest in it, and she is a very vocal advocate for mining interests in Australia and takes up political causes in the interest of mining and free trade and, the ability of mining companies to import labour, and sort of generally kind of runs an agenda of freeing up interests for mining to be able to mine where they like and operate in the way that they choose.
And I understand Ms. Reinhardt is a huge fan of climate deniers like Andrew Bolt. She wants to give them top billing in the newspapers and television stations she buys. Is that right?
Reinhardt has been connected to climate-denying people. Certainly she, in the press, has been associated with a move. She bought part of one of the television channels here and installed Andrew Bolt in a program there. That was certainly the way it was reported. And it's also reported that she's interested in buying, and she has bought a large stake in one of our big newspaper companies here as well. Yes, there are, there's sort of quite a intense climate denial movement in Australia, and we get a lot of sort of visiting climate deniers from the United States and the United Kingdom brought out by various business interests in Australia to try and sow seeds of confusion in the community about global warming.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith from Sydney, Australia. We are talking with Greenpeace senior climate and energy campaigner Georgina Woods. Georgina, here is what shocks me about the rapid expansion of the coal and of climate denial in Australia. It seems like such an insult to all those who lost their lives in the horrible fires, the big floods, and those agricultural droughts. The farmers, some of them committed suicide. They were so severe, and it happened time and time again in recent years. How can anyone doubt the climate has changed after all that?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, I suppose, because climate change is such a big problem and has so many complex manifestations that it's hard for people to, be really clear about it. And it's easy for people to sow confusion if they choose to. I think that's also, it's a symptom of people being frightened by a problem that is much larger than any we've faced before and much more complex. And so it's natural for people to cling on to ideas that it's not a problem, that it's not happening. And those are the kinds of vulnerabilities that are exploited by fossil fuel companies and climate deniers who don't want our community to act to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels.
And then we have the simple fact that the Great Barrier Reef, a treasure to Australia and to the world, is bleaching and dying, mainly due to global warming. Are Australians ready to let these great coral reefs die to provide more short-term jobs in the coal mining industry?
Well, the Great Barrier Reef is really at the centre of the coal debate in the state of Queensland in Australia. Because it is so obviously threatened by climate change, and recently a paper was released that showed that even 2 degrees of global warming, which is a commitment that our government has made with governments around the world, is probably going to be devastating for coral reefs and the Great Barrier Reef more particularly. So it's, right up there as being under threat from climate change. But it's also right immediately now under threat from the coal industry, because there are up to 9 new coal export terminals being proposed to be built for the Great Barrier Reef coast by various coal corporations. So it's the icon of the coal campaign in Queensland, because it's threatened by coastal development. And just last week, 2 weeks ago, our federal environment minister gave approval for a 60 million tonne coal export terminal to be built in the Great Barrier Reef World Heritage Area to export coal from the mine that's partly owned by Reinhardt's company. So in Australia, yes, the people have a great emotional attachment to the reef and take very seriously their responsibility to protect the reef. But right now we're seeing utter failure of governments and certainly corporations to put the interests of the Great Barrier Reef ahead of their short-term financial and political interests.
So, Georgina Woods, how did you become part of the climate movement?
Well, I live in a city called Newcastle in New South Wales in Australia, which is the biggest coal exporting port in the world. We export now over 100 million tonnes from Newcastle to the Asian coal markets every year. And I've always been a conservationist. I was involved in forest protection and marine protection. And living in this city, which is a beautiful city, but which is emotionally and economically tied to the coal industry and was part of expanding coal from Australia and therefore climate change, made me realise that I needed to be part of ensuring that Australia wasn't driving global warming and, you know, eventually killing forests and ecosystems and people around the world. So I guess I was intimately acquainted with the coal industry, having grown up in a region that has traditionally been one of the bigger mining regions in the country.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. And what is being done to resist these mega coal mines now being proposed in Australia?
Well, there are lots of people who are starting to draw the line against coal and say, we've really had enough of this and we can't keep on expanding this industry any further. In different regions, that's happening in different ways. In the region where I live, in the Hunter Valley, there are people taking coal mines to court who are blockading exploration drilling to prevent coal mining from going ahead. And there's sort of ongoing direct action and civil disobedience to chip away at the monolithic power of the coal industry in our region. In other parts of the country, the farming communities particularly are very concerned about the rollout of coal mining in regions that haven't traditionally been affected by it and the impact that will have on land and water, and are locking the gate. They've joined a movement called the Lock the Gate Alliance, who are drawing a line and saying, no, we're not going to have extractive industries on fertile farmland in Australia. So there is a growing resistance movement, partly based in farming communities and partly coming from the conservation movement. It does need to get a lot bigger if we're going to really stop the industry from expanding to the degree that it's currently proposing to. But Greenpeace is really hoping to help that movement grow bigger and to protect the Great Barrier Reef from the coal terminals that are being proposed to be built along its coast.
Can our listeners in other parts of the world help in some way?
I think so. I mean, we are trying to connect up with communities around the world that are fighting fossil fuel development. We're in contact a lot with people in the United States who are fighting coal exports becoming a bigger industry there. And we would love to connect up with people in Canada who are fighting tar sands and the XL pipeline that's going down to the States, because it's our view that governments and corporations have basically abrogated their responsibility to stand up for the things that we value, the communities and also the ecosystems that are under threat from climate change and fossil fuel development. And so it's really up to the people to wrest back that responsibility and say, we don't want these beautiful places to be ruined by the fossil fuel industry, and we're going to work together to make it stop.
Where can people go to get reliable information about the protests and the business of exporting fossil fuels from your country? Can you suggest websites, a Facebook page or Twitter feeds?
Well, there's quite a few at the moment. There isn't one single location. Certainly for the Queensland coal expansion and the coal terminals that are being proposed for the Great Barrier Reef, people can visit www.savethereef.org.au, which is Greenpeace's campaign website for the work that we're doing in Queensland. I would also suggest that people Google the Lock the Gate Alliance and visit their site, because they draw together all of the protest actions that are happening in farming communities and regions in New South Wales and Queensland, and they can find out a lot about their activities there too.
And is there anything else you'd like to add as we wrap up here?
Well, I do think that the time that we have to prevent dangerous climate change from, you know, slipping outside of the control of the human community is rapidly slipping away from us. And so it is important for those of us who care about beautiful places and about communities around the world to intensify our efforts to stop fossil fuel developments from going ahead. We don't really have the option anymore of pleading with government to do it for us. It's in our hands, and we need to do it ourselves.
Thank you. This is Radio EcoShock, and you've been listening to the senior climate and energy campaigner for Australia and the Pacific, Georgina Woods. And thanks so much, Georgina, and please keep us posted about these new climate-killing mines.
I would love to. Thanks for having me, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith.
seeking truth and change worldwide. Coming up slowly, and many more seem to be opening their eyes. Coming up slowly, centuries of twisted truth and lies. Coming up slowly, many people, many places sick.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.